Job 19. We've really been leading up to this for the past few weeks. As you will remember, last week Job was crying out for a mediator, an advocate, a comforter, someone who would defend him in the face of these relentless attacks. And here in Job 19, Job confesses his Redeemer. Job 19, we'll start at verse 13, but our particular text begins in verse 25. So we'll start at verse 13, but our text is verse 25. So Job 19 at verse 13. He has put my brothers far from me, and those who knew me are wholly estranged from me. My relatives have failed me. My close friends have forgotten me. The guests in my house and my maid servants count me as a stranger. I have become a foreigner in their eyes. I call to my servant, but he gives me no answer. I must plead with him for my mouth for mercy. My breath is strange to my wife, and I am a stench to the children of my own mother. Even young children despise me. When I rise, they talk against me. All my intimate friends abhor me, and those whom I loved have turned against me. My bones stick to my skin and to my flesh. I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O you, my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you, like God, pursue me? Why are you not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. And here's our text. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. After my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold it, and not another. My heart faints within me. If you say how we will punish him, and the roots of the matter is found in him, be afraid of the sword, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. And that's as far as reading from Job 19. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as you're going to be looking at both chapter 14 and 19 today. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when most of us think of the Old Testament saints, we tend to think that they have a very shallow or an infant-like knowledge of biblical truth. They're ignorant. They don't have near the understanding as we do. They didn't have a real solid faith. They were kind of like children. But today we are going to see that Job has a real deep, living, sure, firm trust and confidence in the only one who can save. Job has been wrongly and repeatedly accused by his friends. We looked at this with last week in Job 9, verse 33. Job is crying out for an arbiter. He's crying out for someone to come to his side, come to his aid, to defend him in the midst of these wrongful accusations, to vindicate him in the presence of his foes. And in many ways, Job's closest friends have become his harshest critics. Who will come to Job's aid? Who will defend the piety, the righteous living of this man of faith? Where can Job go? To whom can Job look for comfort? Comfort for life and comfort in death. So basically, we're going to answer this question this morning. Did the Old Testament saints look forward to a future resurrection? Did the Old Testament believers have some sort of knowledge, some sort of grasp on the future of things? Or were their hopes only limited to the things of this world? Or did they have a confidence in a future, in a lasting inheritance, in the land of rest? So we're going to be looking at this theme. Job's faith in a living Redeemer comforts him when no one else can. I'll say that again. Job's faith in the living Redeemer comforts him when no one else can. And if you enjoy music, our words from Job 19 should sound familiar. These are the words that Handel put to music. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Lasting comfort for God's people in life and in death. So then in our first point, we are going to see that Job's faith is a steadfast faith. It is a living faith. He is a true man of faith. His dependence, his reliance, his appeal to the Lord is built on not a cold academic faith, but a warm, stirring faith. And it is the trouble, it is the pressure of the trial that is going to wring these beautiful words, these sweet words of confidence from Job's lips. The declaration of his living Redeemer comes in the context of the most bitter critique. Let's turn then to Job 14, where we find Job longing for something better. Job's emotions are not static. Job is going to have times of great clarity, as we're going to see in Job 19, but he also has times of great trouble, great questioning, thinking perhaps death is better than this pain that I am enduring. Job is pondering real issues, and he's getting at the heart of this. Look at Job 14, verse 10. After a man dies and is laid low, man breathes his last, where is he? Verse 12, a man lies down and rises not again till the heaven are no more. He will not awake or be roused out of his sleep. Basically, Job is saying, what happens to you after death? Does a man cease to exist when I breathe my last? Is that the end? Do I finish my life with a sigh and then it is all over? Verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? Who here has not wrestled with questions like this? Who here has not, in the darkness, in the dread of the night, questioned, do I really believe what I read in the scriptures? Do I have this confidence that is necessary when doubt and fear stalks us in the dark of a night? What happens after death? Am I really going to be raised? Well, we live in a world where the answer given to us is no, this life is it. Death is the end and there is nothing more. But Job looks around and Job looks at the trees. That's 14 verse 7. If you have a tree that you lop off, that you cut down, this tree is dead. And yet this tree can produce shoots of life again. A sprout can come forth. And even in the wilderness, in the desert, if there's a tree that has shriveled up and it rains, that tree comes to life again. Are the trees better than man? Is the benefit that the tree receives in new life after death, is that better? Is that something greater than even we can receive? 14 verse 12, will not rise again until the heavens are no more. Indeed, as Hebrews 9 puts it, a man dies once and then faces judgment. How do you respond to this? How do you grapple with it? How do you deal with questions like this? And then Job is going to see his sins. Not only am I dealing with the brevity of life, the mortality, the fact that our life is like a vapor, a mist, rising in the morning like a flower and then withering away. I have my own sin to deal with. 14, verse 13. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past. That you would appoint me a set time and remember me. That you would remember me. Verse 17, my transgressions would be sealed up in a bag, and you would cover over my iniquity. Job is crying out after death, Lord, remember me. Hide me from your wrath. Didn't even the thief on the cross say to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Psalm 16, verse 10, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. There's something more. Remember me and cover my sin. Remove my transgressions from me. Job points out rightly in 14, verse 4, who can bring something clean out of that which is unclean? There is not one. What clean, what righteousness, what grounds for justification can come out of a fallen man? If I'm looking for a redeemer, if I'm looking for a savior, that will not be found in humanity, because nothing clean comes out of something that is polluted. Fallen man cannot appease God's wrath. Fallen man cannot resurrect himself after he dies. Fallen man cannot secure the pardon and the forgiveness of our sins. Those who are born of flesh cannot secure the peace and the pardon that is necessary. Job hopes, Job longs for something more, for something greater. Job says clearly in chapter 14, our life is short. The sting of death pricks us all. We die and are no more. Not only are we mortal, we're sinners. And we have transgressions that need to be dealt with. So where is the hope for pardon and restoration and revival? If the trees can live again, cannot our fallen flesh be revived? Will God remember me? How do you answer questions like this? How do you respond in your heart? How do you preach to yourself in the dark night? Is there any hope? Once you are brought to the end of your days, will your body be laid in the tomb? Is that the end of your existence? Well, to answer the question that Job poses and the struggle, the conflict of chapter 14, turn with me now to chapter 19. In chapter 19, Job's faith is revived. And in chapter 19, we find a clear and stirring affirmation of his hope. Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. You can hear from the lips of Job a personal, a deep faith. He knows this. He's convinced of it. He is certain of this truth. Job has a redeemer. The word for redeemer here is familiar to us. It's Goel. It's the same word used for kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth. Someone who comes to your aid, who takes up your cause, who makes things right, who comes in the context of great offense, of great loss, and brings restoration, who brings blessing. A redeemer is one who takes up the cause of the afflicted, who defends the rights of the poor. Job's redeemer that he confesses is someone who will defend Job's cause to ensure that justice will be done. Job has cried out, "Remember me." And now Job says, "I know my redeemer." Because as Job looks around him, he sees that the helpers that man provides really provide no help. Look at earlier in chapter 19. Job goes through the list of all of his friends and family. "My brothers and sisters, my kin, children of the same mother, my siblings, my friends, these three friends that have traveled here and have started accusing me, my servants want nothing to do with me, my own wife." Lord willing, you're going to look at this in further detail next week, but "my own wife is offended at my breath. She wants nothing to do with me. There is no other helper that can be found." That's verses 13 and 14 of chapter 19. "My friends and family have failed me. They've forgotten me. All have turned their back on me." And then Job says those stirring words, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Help does not come from men. "All these may despise me. They've turned against me. And yes, I will die and my body will be laid in the grave, but I know that my Redeemer lives." This is particularly significant. We remember that Job lived probably around the time of Abraham. And he had this confidence, this trust, this dependence. He's a very early Old Testament saint. And yet Job knew, he depended, he relied on, he had confidence in the presence of his Redeemer. That his Redeemer lives. Not that his Redeemer would live one day, but already then, already now, his Redeemer lives. The eternal Son of God was already present. And the work of the second person of the Trinity had been revealed to Job. Job knew his Redeemer and that his Redeemer would save him. We could put this another way. Job was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Already, thousands of years before Jesus Christ would come, Job knew that his Redeemer lives. And part of that comfort would include, as we see now in our second point, would include pardon for your sins and the promise of resurrection. So having confessed his faith in the context of overwhelming odds, right? Job's lost everything. His friends have turned against him. He has no helper in men or from mankind. And then he says, "I know my Redeemer lives." But let's dig into this confession of faith that Job makes in Job 19, verse 25. "I know that my Redeemer lives." So he already then knew that the mediator was living, even before Jesus Christ came. "And this living Redeemer will stand at last upon this earth." Verse 26, "After my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another." So in the context of chapter 14, Job has just said, "I know I'm dying. Everyone dies. Our life is short. We're a vapor. We're a mist. We pass quickly to the end of our years." Abraham, or Moses would put it this way, 70, maybe 80 years. It's a vapor, a mist, a blink of the eye. And yet I know this truth. My Redeemer lives and he will stand upon this earth. My Redeemer is coming and he will vindicate me. What is the timing of this Redeemer's work? He says he will stand upon the earth at the last. Verse 25, at the last, at the end, at the telos, at the culmination of all things. Job said the same thing in 14, verse 12, after the heaven and earth have passed away. So Job is saying at some point in the future, the Redeemer is going to come and he is going to stand on this earth. After my skin has thus been destroyed, verse 26, after I have died, I've end my earthly journey, in my flesh, I will see this Redeemer. Are you grasping the significance of this? Job is saying that I am going to die, and yet my Redeemer lives. And after I have died, I believe that I will see my Redeemer face to face. Where will I see my Redeemer? On this earth, in my flesh. Job believed in a future restoration and redemption. Job is confessing a physical resurrection where he in the flesh, the very flesh that is now covered in boils and sitting in the dust that will soon die, in that same flesh, Job will be raised and he will see his living Redeemer in the flesh. His flesh, Job's flesh, seeing the Redeemer in the flesh. He is confessing a physical resurrection where he will be raised, where his Redeemer will be physically standing upon the earth, where Job will see his Redeemer face to face. He's looking forward with a heart of faith. And he will see God. Do you see that? Verse 26. In his flesh, he will see God. How can Job see God in the flesh? It's called the incarnation. When Job will look upon Jesus Christ face to face in the new heaven and the new earth, Job is going to meet his Redeemer. Job is looking forward through the halls of history by faith, looking to the time when Jesus Christ will return to judge the living and the dead, raising his people, resurrecting them, giving them glorified bodies where they will meet together with their Redeemer and dwell with Christ, God with man, in the new heavens and the new earth for all eternity. Job is looking forward to seeing his God in the flesh, standing upon the earth in a glorified state. The only way that this can be fulfilled is through the coming of Jesus Christ. Job is saying that his Redeemer lives. Already now, in Job's life, his Redeemer was living. Second person of the Trinity, the one who will secure his redemption, secure his forgiveness of sins. And he's looking forward to the time, to an ultimate and final redemption, a vindication of the righteous life of Job. And he believed in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, where death would be defeated, and the world would see that this poor man trusted in God and his God saved him. Now, to apply this truth, this stirring truth that Job is confessing, we see in our world that we are surrounded by miserable comforters, right? Isn't that what Job said about his friends? These are miserable comforters. It is a blessing to have friends and family that surround you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But at the end of the day, all the comforters of this world cannot secure, cannot deliver the ultimate comfort that you and I need. We confess this with the catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Comfort that applies to your body and your soul. When financial trials come, when you are falsely accused, when you are dealing with the death of a loved one, when there is conflict in your home, when you are rejected by your friends, when you are coming face to face with your own physical suffering or even your own impending death, when you face trials of various kinds and of various natures, this, brothers and sisters, is the only source of lasting comfort. So do you know your living Redeemer? Do you have faith in the Redeemer that Job is speaking of? I know that my Redeemer lives, and he ever lives to intercede for me. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will remember me. That at the end of my life, when this temple, this physical flesh, is dead and buried in the grave, that Jesus Christ will remember me and raise me up on the last day, that my loved ones who have already ended their earthly journeys, whose bodies are now in the grave, that he will remember them and raise them up. Even as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, do not grieve as those without hope. On the last day, the dead in Christ will rise, and then those who are left will be caught up in the air. We will be with the Lord always. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Job is encouraging us. Job, as a prophet, is telling us of his only hope. Because your possessions cannot give you lasting comfort. They can be stolen. They can be lost. They can be burned in the fire. They can be eaten up with rust or with decay. Your family cannot be your lasting source of comfort because your family can get sick or they can move away. Your friends cannot be your lasting source of comfort. They can turn on you. They can speak lies about you behind your back. Your body can be plagued with various diseases and even death. So Job is being stripped of absolutely everything. Anything that Job could look to find comfort, to find peace and happiness, has been removed. Job is naked and bare and laying, sitting in the dust, covered by boils. His friends have turned against him. His family turned against him. He has nothing. And then Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. That is the only place, brothers and sisters, the only source of lasting comfort, that you belong to a faithful Savior, body and soul, in life and in death. That you believe this Redeemer will return to the earth to raise the dead, to vindicate his people, and comfort those who mourn. As our theme states, Job's faith in a living Redeemer comforts him when no one else can. So may your faith in the living Redeemer be your source of comfort when all else fails. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, stirring declaration of faith that Job had all those years ago. That he knew that his Redeemer lived. That he knew that his body would be raised. He knew that he would see his Redeemer face to face, that he would see God in the flesh. and that he would stand on the earth, vindicated by this living Redeemer. May Jesus Christ be our only source of comfort. May he be our living Redeemer. And may we look to him and him alone for that peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Our hymn of response